From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios in La Crosse. Thank you very much for joining us. We're talking about mental health today. We've got representatives from a few different organizations here to talk about the work that they do and the resources that their organizations provide in our community. And also to talk about some of the ideas behind, you know, why people might feel like they need a little checkup at a certain time of the year for various reasons. And we'll get into all of that to the extent that we can over the next hour here on Newsmakers. Thank you very much for joining us again. Let me introduce my guests. First of all, Todd Bjerke is the board president for NAMI La Crosse Vernon. That's the National Alliance for Todd. I'm losing the acronym here. Tell me, National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Of mental illness.
Yes. There we go. And we'll talk about it a little bit more, but your organization officially now covers La Crosse and Vernon counties, soon to cover Trempealeau as well. And if you recognize that name, Todd is a recently retired circuit court judge in La Crosse. So, Judge Bjerke, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We have got Diana Diaz-Granados, who's been on the program before, who is the executive director of Better Together. Diana, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Thank you, Ezra, for having me.
And Heather Quackenboss is Extension La Crosse County, and she is the Human Development and Relationship Educator there. Heather, welcome to Newsmakers. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
So I want to talk about just the ideas that people have. We hear a couple of different things at play during this time of year. We've just come out of the, you know, few weeks or a couple of months where people are talking about New Year's resolutions. And so you have people who are thinking like January 1st is some magical thing where I'm suddenly going to make myself feel happier, or I'm going to, you know, approach relationships better, or I'm suddenly not going to be angry ever anymore, or whatever. And that seems like an exercise in futility. And also you have like this, just everything is so dark and so cold, and people spending more time inside and not outside. And for all these various reasons, you have, you know, seasonal, especially seasonal like depression that people talk about a lot. And so it all culminates in an interesting time of year where you find people talking about mental health. But I want to kind of give people a point in the right direction with our conversation today. So let's talk first of all, Heather, let me start with you. You reacted really, really harshly visually when I started talking about those New Year's resolutions. What is wrong with the approach that people are taking to their mental health this time of year?
Well, first of all, I'll just acknowledge that I'm an anti-New Year's resolution maker.
And just in general, full stop.
In general, full stop.
Perfect.
What we tend to do is the first part of anything we get into, the first part of the new year, of the first time we get a new job, the first time we become anything different, we make grandiose outcomes for ourselves that often within a couple days, a couple weeks, just go away because they're too big and we don't know how to take that first step. And also, you said it's dark, it's cold, it's really cold right now. And we can look at Denmark and hygge, which is spelled H-Y-G-G-E and pronounced hygge if you don't speak Danish. And it's really, how do we take comfort in the darkness? How do we rest and relax and recharge when it is so cold and everything around us is dormant? And so I tend to have a very different attitude this time of the year, and anytime we're really looking at how do we really create change in ourselves and take care of our mental wellness. And it's going to be those very small steps.
Taking comfort in the darkness. What does that even mean? Like I'm used to people talking about getting rid of the darkness.
And we do. It's like a fight. We have to fight against what is going on. And it's really, let's wrap up in a blanket. Let's have warm tea or our favorite warm beverage. Let's do some of those things inside. Let's play games with our family, you know, in the low light. Let's read a book or learn something maybe that we've never done. And that's really what the hygge is all about, is really, let's take that comfort in those small, slower things that we don't give ourselves time for in the warmer, brighter hustle culture that we have.
Diana, from your perspective, where do you come in to this part of the conversation? I know your work with Better Together involves mostly efforts on the mental health of youth.
Yes, and I loved what Heather was saying in that. I think it's important to have realistic expectations for ourselves and to understand that whether it's the darkness and the cold is part of our reality. And so to be realistic with what we can do to, be realistic with what we can change, but also put in perspective our own opportunities, and that, we don't, I think, unfortunately, our kids sometimes are, so connected to their social media, where messaging around, having to be happy all the time is somehow, what the expectation. And we need to all recognize that, all emotions are part of the human conditions. And so being sad, and acknowledging that, it's difficult when it's cold and dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. And as parents, being able to model that messaging for our kids is really important. And so that they see adults around them acknowledging all emotions, stress and anger and sadness, and then also modeling, positive ways to cope with those emotions. And, the importance of social connection, the importance of those connections within the family are really important.
People so readily categorize things as this is good or this is bad. I like this. I don't like this. But you were talking about all emotions and understanding the aspects of all of them that are separate from just good or bad. Like anger, people think of as bad, but it isn't really inherently bad, is it?
Correct. No, it's part of the human condition. If something happens to you that makes you angry, something that is unfair, so someone treats you poorly, it is normal to feel anger, to feel bad, to feel sad, and it's how we, process those emotions and ensuring that we are expressing those emotions and identifying those emotions for ourselves and understand and have positive ways to deal with them. And that we're not, lashing out towards others because of not understanding what it is we're feeling and why we're feeling it.
Mm. Todd Bjerke, the board president of NAMI La Crosse Vernon, we've been talking about all these different emotions that people experience during this time of year. Does NAMI give advice or have tools available for people who are feeling like that level of or that side of the mental wellness equation, or is it more geared toward people with like longer term official diagnoses and so on?
Well, NAMI will work with anybody that has some sort of mental health issue. And, as a judge, everybody that came in my courtroom, I think, had some sort of mental health effect, whether it's diagnosable or otherwise. Like Diana said, they're just maybe not regulating the emotions that they're feeling. And just coming to court by itself can be a stressor and make people feel off. Through NAMI, there's plenty of resources available to help people to put together a plan to try to increase their mental well-being. A couple years ago, I chaired a statewide task force to try to increase the mental well-being for attorneys in Wisconsin. And they came up with a lot of suggestions for people to do. Everyone's different. They have different abilities. People that want to do things like these New Year's resolutions, it's just procrastinating and putting things off. And if they're doing that, just like Heather says, they're likely not to do it. What they need to do is if they want to change, they have to start like in 5 minutes today to work on these changes and have a viable plan that they can keep increasing, utilizing some of these resources. Back when I was in the district attorney's office and then as a judge, you know, I would go running three or four times a week. But what helped is I had a person to run with. So when that person didn't feel like running, I would say, we're going running. And we did. And the same with me. He would say it and we'd go out. So you really have to have a plan and you have to have the ability of perhaps people to help support that plan. Like I said, everybody has stressors in their life and those stressors are going to affect people at different times to upset the well-being that they should normally be feeling. And how you are able to control what you do with those feelings is going to affect whether they keep getting worse or you keep them under check and don't need to worry about it. Now, besides NAMI, I'm on several other boards. I'm on the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentors Program. I'm their president. I'm on the Campaign to Change Direction. I'm working with the Mental Health Coalition, the La Crosse Lighthouse, all dealing with mental health issues. That's basically been my career. And any of those can work with people. But NAMI itself, we have some signature programs, family to family, where family members that have somebody that they're living with that has significant mental health issues can come talk with other family members and the facilitator can help work them through to be able to address the issues and help them better understand what's going on with their loved ones. And then we have peer support group that can work with people that actually are dealing with mental health issues and have others suffering as they had in the past working with them. Now, NAMI La Crosse Vernon is reorganizing. We're going to be recognized by both NAMI Wisconsin and the national NAMI to reorganize. We'll cover three counties at that point, Trempealeau, La Crosse, and Vernon. Right now, we are in the works of making those changes. So we're not doing our monthly educational programs, but people can still reach out to us and get referrals to these groups. Some of them are in person, some can be done online, virtually, and NAMI is there to try to help. You know, we won't diagnose people, we won't provide actual therapy or counseling, but we're there to support people so they can move forward.
Your experience with a judge, I knew that you must have experienced a significant number of people whose interaction with the legal system was at least partly intertwined with mental health issues. But you said that virtually all of the people that you saw were facing some sort of mental health issue when they were before you.
When I say everybody has some issues, some of it can just be stress of coming to court,
okay,
stress of being sued or being evicted. And there's a lot of things that go along with that. There are things that might cause you to become evicted in the first place, not working, divorce, separation, what have you. So that's one level of stressors that might not ever reach to any kind of diagnoses, but it's still affecting them. On the other end, we have a lot of people that do have true mental health issues that come into court for criminal matters that if we had proper mental health services available for these people and we went and looked at the prevention side, like Diana is talking about, even with children or young adults or what have you, we could keep them out of the criminal justice system and truly address their needs that way. You know, we've sent a lot of people to prison that have mental health issues. Some of them end up in Mendota or Winnebago, and that costs a lot of money to house those people in a secure facility. And if we were taking care of people to give them some time and inpatient if they need that, but really have the services available, which nowadays is looking at peer support specialists, possibly mentors, people that actually work with them on a day-by-day basis to help them get through all the struggles that they have, we'd see less people coming into the court for criminal matters. And I think it would make society everywhere much more wholesome and really cut down on mental health eventually.
Heather, I'm thinking about the stigma so often associated with mental health treatment, especially, and it can take various forms. You hear some people, when you suggest that they might want to talk to somebody about something, they think, well, that's embarrassing. I don't want to talk to a stranger about these deeply personal things. Or they might have a very negative reaction, thinking that, oh, well, you must think I'm crazy if you think I need mental health evaluation of some kind. Why do you think there's such a strong stigma or a strong reaction against seeking mental health advice?
You know, nicely, as we look at our younger generations, they're much more accepting of mental health, of mental wellness, of neurodiversity, of being different. And I think it's changing in good ways. And that said, I think also a lot of us who grew up in the Midwest, live in the Midwest, we have a slight allergy to our feelings. Like we were talking about earlier, it's okay to feel fine and good, maybe angry sometimes, but not too angry. And that's about it. And one of the first things, I mean, almost pre-prevention, is acknowledging those feelings we have and determining what are the needs I have from this feeling. I mean, truly, if we wanted to just look at feelings as data points for what we need, I think we'd all be a lot better, because we can sit and figure it out when we sit with that feeling. The stigma that we have is we're also, especially as Midwesterners, we get out there and we shovel no matter how much it snows. Mm-hmm. We are taught and trained from little on to just take care of yourselves. Don't share the dirty laundry with anyone else. And it's sometimes really, really hard to ask for help. So first of all, I think we just have a stigma of asking for help with almost anything. And when it comes to our mental well-being, well, we're all supposed to be robust and fine. So what's wrong with you? And I think that question can cause us to really stop and not look at, oh, you know what, I'm human and I'm going to struggle. And everyone struggles. We forget that we all have common humanity.
Not to put too much of a negative spin on it, but basically start thinking, well, I'm human. Of course, there's something wrong with me.
Maybe, right? We all have our days. We all have our days that are amazing, and we have our days that are really terrible. And even just going back to the first question, we can change our brains to not be toxically positive and only look for happiness, but to find those glimmers in every day. And in all honesty, a silly story about myself, I thank green lights when I go through them, because sometimes I run late. And when I get to a red light, then of course the whole day is going to just go downhill, right? Because now it's a red light. Now I'm later than I have been. When it's a green light, I'm like, hey, thank you, green light. You're helping me out today. And it can train my brain to look a little bit more positive in just a few seconds. So no, not everything's going to be 100% good or 100% bad. And we can train ourselves to find those little glimmers.
So sometimes just changing, even if it sounds a little ridiculous, change, like adopting really positive. Yeah, I heard a motivational speaker from years and years ago talk about renaming his alarm clock into an opportunity clock. So yeah, there you go. Diana, Heather mentioned the heightened willingness of younger people to talk about their mental health. Is that something that rings true to you?
Absolutely. And I think that stems from, you know, just a growing practice of mental health literacy, really, you know, understanding. Mental health literacy is understanding emotional health. It is understanding emotions. It's understanding how to communicate about our emotions and looking at how to advocate for ourselves and for those that we care about. We've increased that mental health literacy within our schools. And so that we know that kids are more open to share their differences and celebrate differences among themselves and among friends. I think, you know, mental health stigma does still exist. And I think for, you know, our older and adult population, we didn't grow up with that language. And so that's part of, you know, some of the training that we've done with Better Together is to grow that the common language of how to talk about our mental health, and that mental health is part of our physical health. It's how we look, it's how we think and how we act. So giving, expanding that language and comfort in talking about emotions leads to, a more openness and destigmatizes mental health.
That's Diana Diaz-Granados. She's with Better Together. Heather Quackenboss is here with Extension La Crosse County. Heather's a human development and relationship educator there. And Todd Bjerke is here, retired circuit court judge and also the board president of NAMI La Crosse, Vernon, and soon to be Trempolo. And his involvement extends into several other organizations locally as well. We're going to hear more about these wonderful organizations represented here today coming up. If you'd like to get in touch with our show about anything that we're talking about today or something you'd like to hear in the future, I'd love to hear from you. You can email us at newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our conversation continues in a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Thanks for joining us. Our conversation continues with Todd Bjerke, Diana Diaz-Granados, and Heather Quackenboss. We're talking about mental wellness today. We're kind of getting a little mental health checkup and pointing people in the right direction if you think you need more than a little bit of a self-check. I want to go around to all of our guests today and let them tell you about each of the wonderful organizations that are represented. And we'll start with Diana, who you heard right before the break. Diana Diaz-Granados is the executive director of Better Together. Tell me about the work that you do, Diana.
Thank you, Ezra. Better Together is funded by the Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment. And for the past almost 8 years, we've been working with our youth serving agencies and school districts in La Crosse County to increase mental health literacy, to ensure that we understand what the needs are of youth. And so we have really highlighted the importance of our youth risk behavior survey. And this is a survey that our middle and high schoolers take every 2 years. And it's where we see that 31% of high schoolers in 2021 said that they felt so sad and hopeless that that it really impacted their daily lives. That almost half of students say that they are struggling with anxiety. This is data that we, as a community, need to look at and ensure that we are responding to. So that's been part of our work. And then also we have provided training and information to our community, to caregivers and parents, to be able to understand mental health, youth mental health specifically. And we've done that through mental health first aid training, which is a training that gives you, the skills and knowledge to understand mental health and how to respond to a young person who is struggling with their mental health and how to respond in a crisis situation. If you have come across a child who's having a panic attack or is showing signs of suicidality. So that's been an important part of our work as well.
Thank you very much. Heather Quackenboss with Extension La Crosse County. Talk about your work as a human development and relationship educator. What is it? What service is it that you provide to our greater community?
Ezra, thank you for that. And technically, we are under UW-Madison, and each county across the state of Wisconsin can have human development and relationship educators or health and well-being educators. And we really try to look at what are those components throughout our life that we need to live a good life. And honestly, that looks very different for everyone. And whenever we do facilitate programming, we don't necessarily have a scripted list of here you go, just check these things off and you're going to be okay. It really tends to be a lot more individual. What do we enjoy? What do we love to do? What is more of our purpose? What am I willing to do? Judge Bjerke said that he runs. Sometimes people are going to get funny looks when they say they are a runner. And so running does not work for everyone. Really, right now, what we're really looking at is a lot of burnout and compassion fatigue or compassion resilience. And what we are finding almost across all ages, as well as all aspects of our work lives, we are seeing folks burning out, whether they work early childcare or education throughout high school or even university levels. We're looking at our healthcare workers burning out, human services, our caregivers, folks in retail are burning out because we're having hard times in relationships with each other, whether that be the 30 seconds at a cash register, or whether that be with people that we've grown up and loved our whole lives, and we're living in a society that's a little more divisive than it maybe used to be. We also really work with trying to work with folks that might be different than we are. So whether that is neurodiversity, whether that's mental well-being, whether that's culture, whether that's age, we're really trying to help people learn how to people and how to have those relationships with others when we might not agree with them. We might very much disagree. Where can we find some common values, feelings, or ground to start having a dialogue and start being able to work together in ways that fit together rather than arguing and needing to be right? And it's it's challenging, just to say that.
Mm. Heather, thank you very much. Judge Todd Bjerke, your involvement with NAMI Lacrosse Vernon is as a board member. You talked about so many of the things that that organization does. Is it possible to kind of sum up what the work of NAMI is?
Well, in general, they basically try to provide free mental health support, some online groups, resources, and education to people that need those, whether it is what we call a consumer, the person with the issue, or a family member or a loved one that wants to work with them. You know, earlier you talked about the stigma, and some of the stigma I see is the fact that mental health can develop so slowly over time, just like a cancer in you, and you're really not aware of it until something causes you to become aware of it, even though others might be aware of it. And oftentimes people are resistive to others telling them, hey, you are probably having some sort of mental health crisis. Let's get some help. They push that off. The stigma goes real deep. They think it's going to affect their employment. You know, I worked with the military. I was in it for 30 years, active duty for a while, and then in the reserves. And seen many military persons that suffered greatly because of the stigma. They wouldn't seek that mental health. And they don't, you know, if you know military people, veterans, they don't talk about their experiences in combat. It's all hidden deep inside them. And they definitely have issues. But NAMI would try to work with these folks and at least give the family support to try to get a hold of how to deal with their loved one that's suffering, and or get that person in and start to work with them and hopefully get them to make that step to go and really address it. Mental health can be addressed in most situations, but people need to get there and do that.
Heather earlier talked about her remarks on stigma sort of centered around our Midwesternness and not wanting to have anything but a sort of rough and capable exterior, and I'll handle my problems and not bother anybody else with them. You see some of that resistance, at least stereotypically, among people in the military. And Judge Bjerke, you were talking about the mental health needs of people in and coming out of the military. And I can tell you just anecdotally, the people on my timeline who are military veterans are starting more and more to encourage each other that if they have something going on, that they should talk to somebody, that it's okay, like they're giving each other permission to talk. And it's almost like they assume that people coming out of the military will assume that they don't have permission and that they need to give each other permission to talk about these things. How important is that is that work of making sure that people who have served our country have the resources to be able to deal with injuries that are not physical.
I think you're aware of the suicide rate among veterans is around 20 plus per day.
Yeah.
These are people suffering from mental health issues generally. Some might be physical issues, but mostly mental health. You know, if they've been in combat, they're likely to come out with post-traumatic stress disorder, and that affects people in different ways, depression, anxiety, all sorts of things. They can deal with the depression and anxiety through perhaps medications and things, but PTSD is something that'll never go away. They've had that experience and they'll live with it. So it's how to regulate and control it when it flares up and affects them. But again, they don't talk about these things. They bury it down deep inside of it, them. You know, with our veterans court here in La Crosse that we developed 14 years ago, we were working with people that had left Vietnam. They were in combat. They had another career, maybe 30 years or so. And once they retired from that, their ability to control that PTSD went away because they have more idle time and they can think about stuff. And that's when it started to affect them, and it manifests itself that many years later. So it's really important for people that have been in combat to actually talk about that experience and get a hold of it so it doesn't cause them to have a life that is impaired because of their thoughts and experiences. So if you know anyone that's been in combat, it's likely going to affect them. Mm. And I know people are doctors, I know other lawyers, even judges that have had similar experiences, whether it's combat or just having a traumatic case before them or that they've handled, where people have been killed or maimed or exploited in different ways. And that can affect them vicariously as well. So anyone that's experiencing these things really does need to try to talk about it and be accepting of the help that can be given to them to make improvements in their life because of those bad experiences.
Diana, you've mentioned several times the idea of mental health literacy. And I'm thinking of all the information that's available today for free online or at the library or things you can, you know, buy at the bookstore or whatever. But a lot of that information that somebody might just stumble on if they just start using Google is just horrible. How do people trying to improve their mental health literacy begin to do that in a way that they know that information is going to be accurate and helpful?
That's a really amazing and important question, Ezra. One way they could start is going to bettertogetherlacrosse.org. We have on our website some of the trusted resources that are out there, like the Child Mind Institute, the CDC, organizations that that have that reputation of being research based and research backed. And so, you know, organizations such as NAMI has great resources on their website. So I know NAMI.org or NAMIWisconsin.org. We work with organizations like the Trevor Project for our population that identifies as LGBTQ. Anyone needing more information specifically around mental health can now dial at 988, and that is our new federal line. Just like we dial 911 for an emergency, we have 988 for mental health crises and mental health information. So that's where I would start.
Okay. Heather, what about sort of entry-level resources for people interested in improving their understanding of mental health issues from your perspective?
You know, it's and you mentioned Google, and we all go down that spiral, right? When we get on Google, we get this confirmation bias, and we're looking for the answer we want to get. And
once the algorithm knows that's the answer you want, that's the one they're going to keep giving you, too.
You will get all of the information about that answer all the time. So it's stacked right against us to get that good, valued, correct information. So in all honesty, a lot of times it's who are you in relationship with and who do you very much trust? Because our people, our social connections are going to probably be the first thing that is going to be able to help us. And if you trust them enough to be able to share and be vulnerable with them, they probably trust you to give you that answer that you need. And it might not be the answer that you want that's nice. Going back to our Midwest nice, it might be the answer that you need to hear, and it might be a little vulnerable, it might be a little raw, it might be a little tough to hear, because sometimes when we're looking at ourselves, we might have some self-awareness. It's hard when we have to work through that self-awareness, or when someone mentions something, we're like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going through. And so first step, honestly, is who's the person you trust that's going to be absolutely real with you and not acquiesce to what you want to hear. And then I think, honestly, NAMI has amazing resources, and Better Together has amazing resources. And we have some awesome resources and services in our community that folks can reach out to.
We're talking about mental wellness today on Newsmakers with Heather Quackenboss, Diana Diaz-Granados, and Todd Bjerke. And our conversation is going to continue in just a moment. If you have missed part of our conversation today and would like to listen back to it, or if you want to catch a previous episode of Newsmakers, it's actually easier than ever, because just this week we have a brand new website. So go to the all-new WPR.org. And click on shows, and then click on Newsmakers, and you'll find all of our previous episodes there for your listening pleasure. And I'll thank you very much when you do that. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. We'll be right back here on Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. We're on the campus of UW-La Crosse. That's where our offices and studios are located here in southwestern Wisconsin. And we are having a conversation about mental wellness today with representatives from NAMI La Crosse Vernon, a wonderful organization called Better Together that focuses on mental health issues related to youth, and Extension La Crosse County, who has provided us with a wonderful human development and relationship educator for today's conversation. Heather, Todd, Diana, I want to ask each of you about what next steps you would recommend for people to take. So some of our conversation has been just, you know, hey, reframe your thoughts, think a little bit differently, maybe educate yourself on these issues. And for some people, that's just not going to be enough. Some people are starting to realize that they, or maybe someone they love, needs more help than that, needs the actual intervention of a mental health professional. Let's start with you, Heather. What's the first place that you would recommend someone go if they're thinking they need to get a professional involved and really take a closer look at their own mental well-being?
In all honesty, I think our primary care providers, if we have one, is the first person to go to when we notice we're starting to struggle. Generally, they have that access to, here's who you can call, here's how to call, and sometimes, hey, I'm going to help call and advocate for you. So if we're struggling, our primary care physicians or our primary care providers are those first steps.
Okay. And I'm thinking about, you know, you said primary care providers, if we have one. Todd Bjerke with NAMI, what if somebody doesn't have a primary care provider, either because they maybe have just avoided going to the doctor very often, or maybe they don't have insurance or something like that? Are there resources available in our community for people to have a mental health related conversation?
Well, La Crosse area is very rich in resources. The problem is if someone's in a crisis and they need to talk to a psychologist or psychiatrist, there can be a very long wait to get into that person, mm-hmm. unless they get through some queue that can move them up a little quicker. People that go through what we call chapter proceedings, where the courts may get involved, get that a lot quicker, but those are people in very serious crisis, but they need to start right away. You know, I know one young girl that is the granddaughter of a friend of mine, has mental health issues, was abusing substances, was finally going to go to inpatient treatment. She had to wait for it. and she wanted to use her last hit of opiates, and had an overdose right before she was going to go and finally get that treatment. She wasn't doing the other things that were necessary beforehand. And when you contact NAMI Wisconsin to see what their resources are, you call the crisis line for La Crosse County, or even 988 or 211, they can help direct people. You need to get to something that's available that day. And it might be as simple as going to an AA or NA meeting type of thing. You could find a lot of different resources that you can access right then and there.
Diana, I read on your website that a significant, I forget the percentage, but a significant percentage of mental health issues that can affect people for a long, long time, even lifelong, begin when they're young, are first noticed when they're young. And so with that in mind, how do parents or young people themselves begin to realize that I need more than just to feel better? I need someone to help me with this problem.
It's 50%. So 50% of mental health conditions start before the age of 14, and 75% start before the age of 24. So the earlier that a mental health challenge is identified, the easier it is to treat. And so, like, unfortunately, because of whether it's, you know, not, you know, stigma, not wanting to acknowledge it, or just over not paying attention to it, we have an average of, you know, 10 years before someone who has a mental health challenge actually seeks treatment. But parents, you know and those who, you know their kids best are the ones that will, you know, should be noticing, you know, changes in behavior, changes in sleep. That those are, you know, kind of those signs that there's something going on. And my child, yes, moodiness is normal among adolescents, but when it becomes really just out of the ordinary, and changes in and their academic performance, wanting to, no longer being interested in the thing, you know, in activities that they were interested in, you know, is you know, can be those signs that I want to have a conversation with my child's pediatrician to discuss, you know, discuss these changes. It could be, feelings of stress, anxiety, that again, if they are identified early, can be easy with some skill development to help a young person deal with those emotions.
Is there language that parents should or shouldn't use when talking about this? I know sometimes parents and kids have go through phases, you know, where there's more or less open communication, and sometimes it's different by family, and some parents may not feel that conversation would be welcome.
You know, just asking what happened, you know, what's happening, how can I help you? Well, I see that you are you're struggling, and or that you're feel that you're expressing more emotions, and what just share with me what's happening. And you know, by being a good listener, and kids will see that you are open to that conversation and can open up and share what they're feeling.
Heather, what advice do you have about people who are, whether it's their kids or another friend or loved one, they're maybe observing a need in somebody else and don't quite know how to intervene?
I think one of the best questions we can ask is, are you okay? And when everyone undeniably will just say, yeah, we say, no, are you okay? Double down that question, because we need to know. And I think we're sometimes scared, and Diana teaches this so well, is if we are really scared for someone, and if we are looking at someone that is potentially suicidal, is thinking of taking their life, actually asking that question, do you have a plan to end your life, is not going to put an idea in their head. That person might be absolutely happy that you asked that, because they really need that help and they were thinking of that. So I think we just need to ask.
We have talked a couple of times about Midwesternness, and there's a sort of Midwestern nicety that might prevent us from doing that just asking. Judge Bjerke, is there a way that you have seen that works for people to kind of overcome the social inclination not to get involved in uncomfortable conversations that could be so important?
Well, just like Heather said, you know, with my experience in the military, they've always said, push the question if people are contemplating suicide or are suicidal to make sure that either they aren't or you stay with them and get them the help if they are. So you do have to go into that uncomfortable zone and try to address that with people. A lot of people with drug addiction, it's because of the mental health problem. They're self-medicating. A lot of the mental health issues, as Diana's implying, can come as a child. And there's been a lot of research into adverse childhood experiences. One is when parents divorce, one's when a parent goes to prison. And there's, I think, about 10 of those. And, you know, if you're working with somebody or you know somebody who's going through a divorce, that's the time to start to work with the children right then and there. And you can hopefully prevent them getting to the point where you have to ask those hard questions, educate them on the issues of divorce and how the parents are still going to be their parents, things like that. If the parent goes to prison or leaves them, again, work on that before that becomes a problem. People that develop mental health issues, their brain is affected. Abusing drugs, your brain is affected. And you think differently and you act differently. And if you have adverse childhood experiences, generally that can affect your personal well-being as well. There's a lot of different health issues that are associated with having that mental health effect on you. So the earlier you can work with those folks that you identify, especially when these red flag events happen, the better you can be on hopefully getting a good outcome for those folks.
So I want everybody to know how to reach the organizations represented here today so they can find more information about the good work that you're doing in our various communities. Todd Bjerke, how can people find out more about NAMI and especially the local chapter of NAMI here?
Well, as I indicated earlier, the local chapter is being reorganized. We'll probably have a different website, but right now they can just type in NAMI La Crosse. They'll find us. In the future, it may change. Better yet would be to go to NAMI Wisconsin. They have a lot of resources there. And when you're on that site, you can scroll down and find the local affiliate, whether it's NAMI La Crosse, whatever we call ourselves, or even other affiliates in the area. So if people are outside the Trempealeau, Vernon, La Crosse area, they can perhaps find a NAMI organization in their area. There's over 400 affiliates throughout the U.S., and they've been around for probably over 45 years now.
Thank you very much. Heather, I know Extension, UW Extension, has so many resources other than just mental health conversations. You could fix your mental health and learn to grow strawberries all in the same place. How do we find all the great work that Extension is doing throughout Wisconsin, but particularly here in our area?
The simplest way is to just put in your search engine Extension La Crosse County, and you will pop up with our website, and you can learn how to safely pressure can, you can learn how to strategically create a better community, and you can learn all kinds of things. We also have a Facebook page that is searchable through Extension La Crosse County, or our office number is 608-785-9593.
All right. Thank you very much. Diana, tell me about Better Together and where people can find more information.
Our website is bettertogetherlacrosse.org. And my contact information is on our website. My email address is Diana, D-I-A-N-A, at bettertogetherlacrosse.org. And we'll find information on how to participate in a youth mental health first aid training. We'll have some coming up here in 2024. And we have different skill sheets and information on, you know, that parents can use with their with their kids at home, that schools are using. So that's a good place.
Wonderful.
And I think actually to your comment about growing strawberries can be good for your mental health.
Oh, absolutely. Eating strawberries can be especially good for your mental health. And I'm not a doctor, but I just think so.
Those simple practices, Ezra, of getting a good sleep, but looking out for, you know, healthy nutrition and making sure that we're getting proper exercise, being outside in nature. Those are all really important things for our mental health.
What a great note to close our show on. Thank you very much. I appreciate our guests, Todd Bjerke, Heather Quackenboss, and Diana Diaz-Granados. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. There are a couple of opportunities to hear our show each week. We're on at 10 a.m. on Fridays on the Ideas Network 90.3. We're also on 7 p.m. on Fridays on NPR News and Music 88.9. And as I mentioned before, we're always online on our brand new WPR.org. So check us out there and join us again next week for another Newsmakers here on Wisconsin Public Radio.